Para que nos puedas contar un poco qué significa desde la perspectiva de la empresa que representas realizar procesos de debida diligencia con este enfoque de género en la práctica. Muchas gracias.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you to everyone attending the session today. Again, my name is Claire Irie. My pronouns are she, her. And I remember if you heard the disability rights panel, I think it's a good reminder that they share the importance of all participation. So I also, for those who are visually impaired, just want to say that I'm a white female with shoulder length or a little bit longer than shoulder length brown straight hair and wearing a dark blue coat. Human rights due diligence can be quite daunting to multinational enterprises as well as small and medium-sized enterprises. But we have to remember that there's a basic framework the UN Guiding Principles sets out for companies. One, we want to ensure that the companies have a policy to commit to respect human rights. Two, due diligence, which is the topic we're talking about today. And finally, grievance, a grievance mechanism, the ability for rights holders that have been infringed upon to be able to speak up. The reason due diligence is so important is that rights holders who have been infringed upon shouldn't bear the responsibility of speaking up. As you just heard from Steve earlier, 86% of violations in South Africa are not reported. So therefore, it's a responsibility of companies, of all companies, to really conduct due diligence to identify, prevent, and mitigate adverse human rights impacts from occurring. But how do you do this? And I think that is the struggle if you're thinking about do you have lack of resources internally, lack of expertise? Do you have a very large end-to-end value chain? Where do you start? And as co-chair for the Partnership for LGBTIQ plus Equality, in 2017, the UN launched the UN Free and Equal Standards. And I would like to use these standards as a basis for walking you through the way in which companies, individuals, those who are interested in protecting the rights of other people can think about what a company's responsibility is. The standards are actually listed on our schedule. So if you look at the very bottom, there's a link to what the UN standards are. And while they are specific to the rights of LGBTIQ plus individuals, they could be open to any. So think about it as a standard of thinking for how do you support or eliminate discrimination against all types of individuals. I'll quickly go through the framework, and then I'll go step by step into what each of the pillars are. So it starts with a foundation of respect for human rights, why we're all here today and what we've been discussing. You build upon a respect for human rights and you go into your own workplace. What are you doing to eliminate discrimination? And then also, what are you doing to support LGBTIQ plus people, people with disabilities, women, et cetera? As you have thought about your workplace, you then need to expand beyond those boundaries and start thinking about what do you do in the marketplace, particularly the marketplace, thinking about your supply chain or your customers. So again, the end-to-end value chain. And then finally, thinking about advocacy, the public sphere. What are you doing in the communities that you serve? And we always have guidance, but then we always provide implementation guidance. So while that is not provided in your materials, it is definitely available to share with you the questions that you can ask yourself and each other. Are you achieving those standards? Are you enabling the reduction of discrimination against LGBTIQ plus people, people with disabilities, women, or people with color, et cetera? So if I go back to the very first, respect for human rights, make sure that your company or the companies that you're working with have a policy to respect human rights. Is that policy a commitment to not only respect human rights, but have due diligence systems? And also have a grievance mechanism where individuals have the opportunity and the ability to freely speak up. That's the core and that's the basis. From there, we go into our operations. And I talked about you want to eliminate discrimination, but then also provide support. And how do you do that? Again, you know, one of the key things is the company needs to have a policy of anti-discrimination and specifically calling out those it does not want to discriminate against. And oftentimes in this way, it's good to partner that with training. Training your employees and others on the importance of LGBTIQ plus non-discrimination. And then making sure that if someone were to raise a concern, that there is no retaliation for raising such concerns. And that creates an ecosystem of organizational justice, where individuals feel comfortable and they feel that they are able to speak up without the fear of retaliation. So again, it's really important to start in your company where you originate to really make sure that your employees feel that they understand what the anti-discrimination policies are and to ensure that they feel supported so that they can be their best at work without any risk of stigma against them. Next, after you go into the marketplace, and again, you're thinking about suppliers that supply you with commodities potentially, or customers, those that sell your products. How do you ensure that you, as a company, don't discriminate against maybe a supplier, a distributor, or a company that is maybe LGBTIQ plus founded, or women founded, or people with disabilities founded? But then also, how do you make sure your suppliers and your distributors do not discriminate either? One of the key aspects of this is having a good set of guidelines that set forth the expectations that you have for those that work with you, and making sure you have consistent communication and dialogue with your external business partners on what your expectations are if you do business with us. And then finally, acting in the public sphere, which I think is so critical and so important. It's why we are all here today. It is important that everyone is having conversations with the communities affected, ensuring that you're bringing together different perspectives, thinking about civil society, governments, local community activists, defenders. It's important that everyone has a seat at the table and everyone feels that they have an ability to participate, to show you where you may not see that you may need additional action, because it's truly those that are the most vulnerable, those that have potentially the rights to be infringed. They are the ones that are the most critical to ensure that you can meet the obligations and support the UN standards for equality and inclusion. And I'll stop here for now, but thank you very much.